Welcome to Fitz Dog Radio. I know I sound like shit. I look like shit. I'm sick. I just got sick literally in the last 5 hours. It just like came over me. I hope I didn't get Ari sick. But he came here at 9 this morning, and it's now 7 o'clock at night, and it just hit me in the last like 4 or 5 hours. So hopefully he's fine. Who knows? Sorry, Ari. Welcome to Fitz Dog Radio. We're not going to do much of an intro because I just got out of bed. I'm going right back into bed. But I want to I'm going to South Africa in 2 days for 3 weeks. And I'm going to be on the fucking 25-hour flight, sick, congested, throat hurting, contaminating everybody on the flight. Ugh, this is the worst. I caught it in Cleveland. I was in Cleveland, Ohio. It was like 17 degrees out, and my body just could not handle it. Shout out to Hilarities. Thanks to the crowds that came out. Hit lots of bonuses. I should share my bonuses with you guys when you come out and see me. Nick and the gang, Sam, everybody treated me like gold. Alan Cox, one of my favorite DJs, did a nice interview with him. Not too late to get the Sunday Papers t-shirts. Go to fitzdog.com, pick one up, get a late gift for the holidays. They're cheap, good quality, cheap price, good quality. Speaking of good quality, my comedy, my new hour coming on the road in this winter, January 17th and 18th in Janesville, Wisconsin, where I'll probably get sick all over again. Nyack, New York, Raleigh, North Carolina, Milwaukee, Vegas, Fontana, California, Atlanta, Hollywood, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, Toronto. Go to fitzdog.com, get some tickets, come on out. Pittsburgh, can't wait to see you. Also, this holiday season, I got to tell you something. I got some gifts for some friends and family from Aura, which is a you want to see your friends and family during the holiday. You can't always fly them in. You can't always go see them. This is the next best thing, and it lasts all year. It's named the number one digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's this beautiful. It's sitting on my. You can see it on my mantle right there. Do you see that thing with the pictures in it? That is a frame that you, the app is super easy and anybody can access it. So basically, it is allowing me to send my mother pictures from our trip to Ireland, our trip to Italy, her holding her grandkids when they were little, and I can update it anytime. I can keep adding. My sister can add some. Right off your phone, it's so easy. You can order the frame online and preload it with the photos and videos so it's ready to go right out of the box. We also gave one to our housekeeper, and she has a huge family, and we showed her how to use it. It's super easy. Save on the perfect gift by going to Aura, I always say Aura wrong, auraframes.com. Get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Mat frames by using promo code FITZDOG at checkout. That's AURAframes.com, promo code FITZDOG, FITZDOG. This deal is exclusive to listeners, so get yours now. In time for the holidays, terms and conditions apply. Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to thank me later. All right, my guest today. By the way, I had a glitch when I recorded today. I didn't have the audio recorder on at first, so the first 10 minutes of the interview was cut out, and so you'll notice it kind of starts abruptly. But then if you listen to the end, I added that 10 minutes on to the end of the interview because the audio is just from the camera. It's not from the audio recorder, so the quality is not as great, but it's a bonus 10 minutes on an already, I think, great interview. So sit back, enjoy a man. He's got a new tour called The Farewell Tour. He's got a special on Netflix January 14th called America's Sweetheart and his podcast, You Be Trippin'. Here is a Jewish man named Ari Shaffir.
Do
Do you ever do that? Do you ever shit on comics?
I have stopped.
You used to?
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
it catch up to you? Did it ever get confronted?
Yeah, it was just, and it was like, oh yeah, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Even when I'm right to like what I was saying, yeah. it's like I was wrong to say it.
Yeah.
You should just go to somebody.
Right.
It's such a pussy move.
It is a pussy move. And I also often think, like, you know, because we do that podcast, Sunday Papers, like we take on, you know, we shit on celebrities, but then I always think, but what's the cutoff?
Yeah, because, what's the cutoff?
Yeah.
Is Coach, he used to be a comic.
Yeah.
If so, if something happens to him, are you
Coach?
Like, whatever his name was from the show Coach.
Nice pull. Coach. That's your fucking basket of information.
He was a comic.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Michael Keaton. Can you shout out Michael Keaton?
I really do feel like that is the cutoff. If you ever did stand up, I give you a pass. Yep. Because I know you started in at least in an organic play.
So like John Turturro? No, not John Turturro.
He did stand up?
Who's the guy who had the like the one of the Sandler movies? He had like a black rotted leg. One of the later Sandler movies.
I don't think I've ever seen a Sandler movie in my life.
What?
Am I missing something?
Yeah, they were pretty good. Yeah.
See, now I'm shitting on and Adam Sandler, which I never do. I never do. I didn't shit on him. I just said I've never seen his movies.
Yeah, you don't know if it's good or bad.
Yeah. I realized the other night, like,
I never saw Gone with the Wind. It's not saying it's shitty. It's saying I'm shitty.
You never saw Gone with the Wind?
No, I never will now.
Wait a minute. What's his name? Was a comedian. Charles Bronson. Now, who's the guy who was the lead?
Oh, yeah.
Rhett Butler. Not Brett Butler.
Rhett Butler. So if they're ever a comedian, you can't shit on them. But you do shit on celebrities.
Like yeah.
If Pink does something wrong.
Yeah. Although she works out at my gym, so I don't make fun of Pink.
Okay. Avril Lavigne, though. You'll go hard.
Oh, definitely. Although it does seem weird going after like young girls.
Yeah.
Like as an old guy, it's always like, well, I'm going to shit on fucking.
I saw a talk show host shitting on Chapel Roan. And it was just like, seems so out of touch and dated the way he was like shitting on her. I'm like, right. You don't even understand.
You're right.
Anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll watch the musical guest on SNL just because I feel like, you know, they've had good taste in the past. So I assume that if they're putting somebody on, there's something that's redeeming about them. God. And it really is pretty often that I just watch and I go, I just don't understand how anybody would be turned on by this.
It's on Spotify now. They just get big. It's not radio. Yeah. So you'll never come across it, even if you don't listen to that station. It's just like, you see posters in Austin. You see posters of like some of these like black musicians or whatever. I was just like, I've never... If it's like folk, maybe there's a chance.
Yeah. You know?
But like, who's George Floyd?
George Floyd.
His posters are everywhere. I've never even heard any of his stuff.
He kicks ass.
Kicks ass. Thanks, man.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, it was a long way to go for that.
Yeah, yeah. I was waiting. I wasn't sure where it was going, but you landed it. Yeah. So how are you, man? I got to thank you, first of all, from the bottom of my heart. I don't think anybody's ever helped me as much, including agents and managers and people that I've hired with my special. You were such a good friend.
Wow. It went well.
Yeah, but I mean, you before the special, you were telling me production ideas, and then you told me about like how to fucking size the thumbnail and how often to put stuff out. And like, it was like every single day you were texting me and checking in and promoting it on your social medias. Yeah. It was really cool, man.
Also with my pothead brain, I'm like, I forgot this. I really should just make a sheet.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my bad. Hey, what's your title? Hey, what's your caption? Where's your putting your money?
Yeah. It is true because like.
That part's fun though. It's fun to like help people with stuff where it's not creative. It's like the building of a shelf.
Right. And it's really, we know it more than even the producers. Like, even when you talk to like my distributor, like they have no idea what they're doing. And then I talk to you or I'll talk to like Louis Katz.
Yeah.
People that have done it on YouTube. Like, you guys know specifically what works.
The comics are all helping each other. Schultz helped me a ton. And he was like, hey, and eventually he was like, I got to go. Listen, find one of my clips, just copy it. All, like a resume where I'll just put my stuff in where your stuff is, you know?
What do you mean?
If you have to format a resume, you've never done that before.
Yeah.
Like, let me see your resume. And then I'll be like, okay, TV here. And I'll put my TV stuff in. Right. But Schultz is just copy everything I've done. I got it right.
Yeah.
Go. And I'm like, can I tell other people? He goes, tell everyone.
Yeah. So in other words, like his captioning.
Yeah. The way you, the phrasing of the title.
Right.
All that stuff.
That's huge, isn't it? Like the phrasing of the title on the thumbnail.
It's so dumb. We shouldn't care about it.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
I know. And then you see a clip of a woman who's doing a piece of crowd work that has no beginning, middle, or an end. And it's got like 300,000 views. And you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Oh, it's my favorite, the crowd work clips. I actually enjoy them now. I find joy out of them not doing anything.
Yeah.
Just like, what's your name? Like, Babo. Babo!
yeah.
Like, this chick's hilarious.
Yeah. There's this very cliched structure where they walk over, they put their foot on the monitor. That's always the big thing of like, tough. I'm so comfortable and I'm so tough. I'm crotching you. I'm sticking my crotch at you. And then they go like, so what do you do? And then they say, I'm a librarian. And they always repeat it. Oh, you're a librarian. So that they get that time, they buy themselves like an extra 5 seconds to think of something to say.
Make sure the crowd hears it. It's very technical.
And then a slow burn, a librarian. And now you got the laugh. Now that buys you a couple more seconds.
Because everyone's going, oh, I can't believe she just got this gift.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, she's about to eviscerate this bitch.
Yeah, and then they don't.
They don't
and that's
at all.
The clip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gets a million likes. And you're like, what am I doing? Like, I've got stand-up I've worked on for fucking 35 years, and I'm putting the best clips up, and they're getting nothing.
Yeah, you need neck tattoos, not writing.
Oh, that could be it.
Yeah.
You got tattoos, or is that against your faith?
One here. One
that's
here.
It. All right.
This one says, keep on trucking. People say, when I eat too much, just keep on fucking.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Keep on trucking. That was one of the bumper stickers from when we were kids.
Yeah, with the lean back guy. I was suggesting, some lady came in, a friend, and she was like, I'm going to get a tattoo while I'm here in LA. And I was just suggesting dumb ones, like the cigarette with a line through it.
Yeah.
She's like, no.
Good.
I'm like, yin yang. She's like, shut up. No,
yeah.
I want to get something real. And I was like, keep on trucking. She was no. And I was like, no, you should get keep on trucking though. And then I was like, oh, I'll just get that. And then the guy doing it was like, do you want the lean back later? I'm like, what is that? He goes, the R. Crumb font that you're getting? I'm like, who's R. Crumb? And he's like, the tattoo you're getting.
Yeah.
It's based on an R. Crumb. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't know any of that. Just do it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Or I think maybe I should get the coexist one right
you
on my
should
wrist.
Get the coexist. Bro, new you. New Greg. Turn it over. Virtue signal Greg.
I have one. I have to say though, the coexist, whoever thought of that, like, that was pretty creative. They kind of nailed it.
Decent fonting.
Good fonting.
Yeah.
They got all the religions in there.
In words.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty solid.
Yeah. It was like, it's almost like when you do a crossword puzzle and you go like, how the fuck did you get every word to match?
Lined up. Yeah, I would get three in and then I'd be like, oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
You need 80 more of these? No way.
Yeah, right. Will Shorts, that's the guy's name who does the New York Times ones.
I met a like the number three crossworder, the one who makes them.
Oh.
In San Francisco. He's friends with David Taylor. And we were just talking about like vocabulary. And I'm like, my vocabulary's gone so far down. I was like, it's because I smoke too much pot. He was like, you think that's what it is? And I was like, it's not. He goes, I smoke pot and I'm the third best crossword puzzle maker. Because when's the last time you read a book? I'm like, about a decade. He goes, all right.
That's what it
might
is.
Might be related to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To reading books. I mean, I tried to beat that into my kids. I would literally beat them.
Oh.
And I would
with
say,
books.
With books.
Yeah. Get the message.
That's like
seeing
that
the metaphor here.
That's like that Dave Attell joke. I hate to travel. Maybe it's because my father used to beat me with a globe when I was a kid. But like, I really said to them, if you read, you're going to be able to write. You're going to have good vocabulary. You're going to have patience. It's like reading is like a meditation.
Yeah.
You're not thinking about anything else for an hour.
You tune out. You ever tune out so much you've read 9 pages and haven't read any of it?
Yeah.
But you're like on pace, slowly turning the pages at the right pace, and you're just like, what was any of that?
Right.
Or you could do that driving home too. Where you're like, what? I was just on
Oh, dude.
Where's your La Cienega?
I was driving last night. I just got a... You know, my whole life I drove like just okay cars. I was never like a car guy.
Yeah,
and I just have always like, you know, just wanted to spend my money on other things besides cars. But then finally, like both my kids are like out of high school and, you know, the house paid off. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to get the car I always wanted. So I got a Mustang. Always wanted
one
since
I was
a little kid. Yeah.
Wow.
So I buy it. And I'm so fucked. Every time I get in it, I feel like a champ. And then 3 weeks in, this guy fucking T-bones me, crushes in the side of the car. And so I bring it into the shop, and it was $10,000. And the other guy's insurance covered it, so I had to rent a car. But it took 7 fucking weeks. And I got it back yesterday. And then me and my wife were driving to the store. And this guy rolls a stop sign. It's a 4-way stop sign. Rolls it and doesn't see me. And I floor it. And I curve around. My back wheels spin out. I turn into the spin. I fishtail. This is down this street. It's not the widest street. And I end up in between 2 parked cars, the front of my car, an inch from hitting a high curb. And we just sat there like, what the fuck just happened?
Wow. That's American fucking automotive.
Right? Yeah.
That's the car you want to be able to go with.
Yeah. If I was in another car, I never would have gotten out of that situation.
Can't do that with an Accord.
No. Or I had a Prius before. It would have been like. but then I feel like when I got hit, I was like, see, I don't deserve a nice car. That's how I feel all the time.
I've never had a nice car either.
Yeah.
When you're in them, you're like, oh, it's cool for other people.
Yeah.
But like, I just want to sit
down. You just got to worry more about them. You got to worry about them getting vandalized or stolen, or you get a ding. Like a ding on a shitty car, you're like, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
My dad used to bring it on. He'd see somebody skidding into me, this old big Suburban with like dents, but like they're more like grizzled marks. And he'd see people skidding at him. He's like, bring that off the books. Let's do this off the books. Come out. Boom. He's like, hey, let's not go through insurance. Give me 200. And it would just be little pop after little pop. Victory
that's
pops.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. What car was it? A Wagoneer?
No, big Suburban.
Oh,
like
Suburban.
The old style with really big. They're
those
going back
awesome.
To those now, I think.
Yeah, they are.
That size.
That's the car they rented me when mine was in the shop is this big GMC.
From a Mustang to that?
That was my rental car, a GMC truck. And because they didn't have any Mustangs. And so they were like, we'll give you this. It's like beautiful.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I'll tell you what, man, the ride, you don't feel a single bump on the road. And it's pretty fast. Guzzles gas, but like it's such a good ride.
That is nice. Is that a Commerce Casino poker trophy?
The crystal one?
Yeah.
No, that was, I was one of the top 100 Irish Americans about 10 years ago. They have the Irish, you know, Irish America magazine.
Oh,
it's huge.
What?
It's huge. It's one of the biggest magazines in the country. It's like Esquire, GQ.
Oh yeah. No,
but
yeah.
They give out the top 100 Irish Americans. And so I went and, it was in New York at the Plaza Hotel. And Michael Finlay, you know, the Riverdance guy?
Uh-huh.
Remember the Riverdance guy?
Yeah.
So he was like the lead guest. This is more like, just like 20 years ago. And so he was the honoree of the night. And so I'm sitting at a table and I'm with a bunch of famous writers. And then Michael Finlay, the day before the ceremony, gets completely Me Too'd. He gets like, this is before Me Too. It was, he got charged with rape. I mean, that's right. Not Me Too. He got charged with rape.
Yeah. There's another line there.
And so he didn't show up, and it was a big scandal because, you know, the Irish are very like ashamed.
Also, like, damn, he's representing us. And he went full. Ugh,
right.
Damn.
See, it turns out he does use his hands for something. Because, you know, they dance with no hands.
he's just like resting them. Oof.
Yeah.
What number were you?
They don't rank it.
That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah. They don't rank it, but.
So you're right there with all of Peaky Blinders and.
It was Maureen Dowd from the New York Times was sitting next to me, and my brother hit on her.
No.
Do you know Maureen Dowd?
I know the name.
Well, she's like
Isn't
one of the...
Isn't she 100?
She, no. No. Oh. Well, am I 100? She's like my age.
Oh, okay.
And my brother was... She's pretty hot, and my brother was hitting on her, and he was like getting pretty... Like, she's like one of the biggest writers in the New York Times for the last 20 years. I couldn't believe... My brother is the biggest balls.
Wow. To he, go for it.
He will hit on anybody, and he's like pretty good-looking guy, so like he gets away with it. We were on an elevator once in Vegas on my bachelor party, and there was like 11 of us packed into the elevator at the Hard Rock. And so we're going down, and it's like, you know, 1 p.m, and this girl gets on, and she's pretty hot, and her hair is wet. So the door is closed, and my brother goes, "Did you take a shower?" And she goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Did you get the undercarriage?" And she just starts fucking laughing. Like, only my brother gets away with that. She was howling. We were all howling like the entire way down.
Damn. Bold.
What's the fastest you ever met a girl and ended up hooking up with her? What's the, from hello to hooking up?
We're talking about like social media age.
Yeah. No, anytime.
Well, they're coming out. They're like, you've already like texted them at that point.
Oh, you've texted girls and then they've come over to your hotel?
Yeah, or in my house.
Really?
Yeah, where it's like just DM online a couple times. Oh, it's a different game than when you were.
Are they people that saw you do stand-up?
Or just know about you from podcasts or stand-up. Sometimes it'll be after a show because now nobody actually goes up. There's no bars anymore. Like, I saw you looking at me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, I saw that guy looking at me. Let's find him. And yeah. And say, hi, so you don't put yourself out there. It's never direct. It's never give me your number. That's crazy. People are like, no, give me your Instagram.
Yeah.
So then it'd be like, hi, I noticed you. It was like, oh, cool. What do you? And then they're over, and then you're fucking within 10 minutes.
Within 10 minutes?
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
No.
And then there's
way.
A moment of like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, this is like, even them, like, we should have a condom or something. This is like, I just met you. I took so many chances with that.
Are they good looking generally?
Yeah.
If they're not, do you go ahead with it anyway because they're already there?
One time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, Finn Taylor used to do a joke about it. The men are the only ones who like molest themselves. Yeah. Where it's like, yeah, it goes like, women, you know how like, because we don't know how to say no.
Uh-huh.
So like, women, you ever get like hook up with a guy and then the next day he's like weird, you know, and just like stand so interested. What's going on? It's like, you molested him. He didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
You pressured him into it just by saying, I'd like to do that. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, you took advantage of the fact that men will always say yes.
Yeah, yeah, I had a chick show up to my hotel. And
sometimes
it was like,
yes means no.
Sometimes yes means no. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and it was just like, I don't have the heart to be like, oh, no, you're like 40 pounds heavier than your MySpace profile.
All right.
So it was like, oh, let's just swallow it.
Oh, I never cared.
You would just go.
I hooked up with a girl who had hair all over her. She had it on her chin. And then she had it all over her back.
Whoa.
And I did not care.
Didn't care? She or lived didn't on, stop you?
I didn't care. She lived on my dorm room floor.
Oh, God.
And I kind of had a thing freshman year where I was trying. I slept with so many girls on my floor that I said, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try to run the table.
Connect all the rooms.
You're going to try to hook up with every single girl on the floor.
Fucking Hair Greg was crazy.
Hair Greg was aggressive.
Oh my gosh.
There was a girl that was a virgin from Hawaii. And I caught her second semester because first semester she was a hula dancer and she had a rocking body. But they didn't have ice cream where she grew up in Hawaii. And there was an ice cream bar in the cafeteria. And she put on, you know, the freshman 15.
Oh,
she
yeah.
put on like the freshman 30. So I caught her second semester when the door was a little easier to get through.
Lost some power.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a nice fucking pull there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew a guy who used to have this thing where it's like early 30s, maybe mid 30s. He would go on Facebook or MySpace, whatever it was then. And he would go to the women in his high school class. He goes, now they're divorced. You have a few people that are divorced. They had a relationship, marriage. It didn't work out. 5 years.
Yeah.
So now they're feeling like unattractive. Who's the one saying I'm older? And you just write them and just like, huh? You came across my feed. how you been? It's just like, I gotta admit, I always had a crush on you in high school.
That's
and then they remember their superpower back then.
Yeah.
And they just tap into it. He would just go down the line of hooking up with his high school like once.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
What are the, can you ever run a scam to hook up with a chick like that?
Was ever run a scam? Yeah, one time I well, this was like an instant scam. I'd never played the long ball.
Yeah.
But I did have one where I walked into a bar and I saw this girl. And she was talking to this guy. This guy was like obviously hitting on her and she was not into it. And so I walked up and I go, excuse me, do you mind if I talk to my girlfriend?
Wow.
And then he turned around and he left and we were in my mother's car like 12 minutes later hooking up.
That's, what is it with Woody Harrelson, Kingpin?
What'd he do?
He staged a robbery and he's like, hey, get out of here. He throws coffee in his face. You don't remember that?
But it was his friend?
It was his friend, and the lady caught him. She goes, thank you so much. Forget rent. You're fine. You don't have to pay rent this month.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think if I ever did a
That's great. You were hooking up with her immediately.
Yeah.
Because some guy was hitting on her. I don't want to be hit on. You were like, well, I'll do it.
Yeah. Right.
Wow, that's solid.
Saving somebody. I mean, that's huge. Did you ever hook up with someone from high school that you would... You came back to at a reunion or something?
Yeah, it was terrible. I wish I hadn't.
Oh, really?
It ruined the...
Where'd you go to school? Maryland?
Yeah.
What kind of school was it?
Jewish.
Oh.
Yeah, religious Jewish. And then switched to like a less religious Jewish school.
So how did you meet the girl?
She was visiting probably New York or was it California? Maybe it was in California. She was visiting. It was like, oh, let's hang out. But it was like the crush you never got.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, I'm more of a man then, so I could be more like forward.
Uh-huh.
Did it. And they're like, what did I do that for? It's just
not
like,
good looking.
It wasn't that. It was just like, you have this memory. When you're 15 and they're 15, that 15 is hot.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, now you're like a 30-year-old Jew.
Yeah.
So it's like a bit of that crush back then. But even that now, it's like, ugh. Now you just rob the memory of yourself of this like hot chick you almost hooked up with.
Yeah.
And then I had an opportunity to do that same thing again, and I said no.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Learning and growing.
Yeah. I think she was like, it was further along.
Yeah.
Where I was like, use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I shouldn't. I don't want to ruin what we had.
Yeah.
We made out once, and high school was hot.
Uh-huh.
Let's not ruin that memory.
It's weird that you have that memory because, like, when you think about it, you were 15, but she was 15. So your memory, which is hot, is of a 15-year-old girl.
Put me in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're grandfathered in. You're allowed to think about it now because...
This is what Jared should have said.
Yes.
This is what Jared should have said. I got these pictures when I was 15.
Oh, he did?
Subway. No, but he should have.
Oh, right.
Now
right.
He's in jail forever.
Right,
he should have just done that.
Yeah. That was crazy.
He was just a weight loss guy.
Yeah.
Pretty wholesome.
Uh-huh.
Look, I've lost weight. Eating... By the way, no way.
Right.
Eating a sandwich a day?
Are you kidding me? No, Subway's been busted. The FDA has said that they don't consider their meat meat. It doesn't meet the standards to be called meat because it has so much byproduct in it. And their bread is loaded with sugar and preservatives.
Oh.
It's literally the worst food you could eat
delicious.
To diet.
It's
so great. What's your Subway sandwich?
I have not been in a long time. I don't know.
They got a meatball sub with cheese on it.
The meatball was great.
So good.
The meatball was so much different than all like the meats. It was like its own different thing.
Right.
It was like soup in a bun.
Yeah.
That one was really good. I forgot about that one. It was also like of all like I'm at the airport or like I gotta just get something on the road and keep going.
Yeah.
Subway seemed like the healthiest.
Yep.
But that doesn't now is not correct.
I had an egg McMuffin for breakfast this morning, which I literally never do.
Wow.
But I had to go somewhere this morning, and I was just like, I was hungry, and I was like, fuck it. I'm going to get an egg McMuffin. And you know what? It was delicious.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh.
It's so good. They're all so good. They put so much sugar in the best one was, what was it with like, oh, was it, maybe it was that. It was like two like waffle buns. Not waffle, but like pancake buns.
Oh, nice.
With something with egg in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Something from McDonald's. It was so like sweet. And
yeah.
I interviewed for my old podcast a homeless lady on La Cienega in Santa Monica once.
Just you?
Yeah. I saw her. I was begging for money to pay off a bet with Sam Tripoli. I was in a median trying to get, I had to collect $40.
$40?
Yeah, and then give it to a homeless guy.
Uh-huh.
And I got 2 bottles of water for in like 2 hours. It was so disheartening. It was really disheartening.
You mean you stood on the street?
Yeah, like at the red light, I would come out and be like, please, please, please.
No. Really?
And I got nothing. I couldn't even come close to paying it off. Then I went to the 7-Eleven on La Cienega, like a block south of the store.
Yeah.
And sat there, and then they called the cops on me.
What?
Trying to get people. I was like, all right, man. I really like felt it, too. I was like, I'm just trying to make a living. I really got into it mentally. Yeah, damn. But anyway, some lady was across the street. Homeless lady, and I like finish. I walk. She goes, how'd you do? And I was like, eh, nothing. A couple bottles of water. She's like, yeah, people do this. It was like crazy. Then we like talked a little bit about begging. Spanging, she called it.
Spanging?
Spare change. Spange.
Oh.
And I was like, you want to? And I saw her later. I was like, you want to do my podcast? I'll give you $100 if you do my podcast. It was like I owned her.
No shit.
Yeah. And then.
Where'd you do the podcast?
We did it right there.
Oh, you had your equipment with you?
No, I went and got it and came back.
No way.
Yeah.
And you just sat on the street?
Tallboy. That was her name. She was non-binary, but this was like 15 years ago.
Damn.
Where I was like, what is that? And then she kind of told me, just like, she like shifts, shift backs and forth. It was like, what? Like, I hadn't even heard of that.
Where did she sleep?
Out there, but I was like, why don't you sleep in... Tent City or whatever. She goes, they're animals. They're heroin addicts and meth heads. Uh-huh. I like weed.
Yeah.
And like, I'm kicked out because I'm this like fluid lady. My family won't talk to me, but like those they're not humans over there.
Did she have mental illness, you think?
Yeah, somewhat for sure. For sure. She wasn't all there. She had drama constantly, but like on another level.
Yeah.
Maybe from being homeless. I'm not sure. Wait, why did I bring her up?
We're talking about fast food?
Oh, yeah. When I was like, so I was interviewing, I was like, so another question. I'm like, you're pretty big. I mean, she was like.
I love it. You're insulting.
I was like, I don't know how to say it, but I was just going to know how I'm homeless and fat. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't have money for food, she goes, McDonald's is the cheapest food you can get.
Okay.
So I eat mostly that.
Wow. Yeah, my Egg McMuffin was $5. And you can get, right now, they've got double cheeseburgers for 59 cents on McDonald's. I saw an ad.
I survived on that.
Yeah.
39 cent cheeseburgers, 29 cent hamburgers.
Yep, I remember
Sundays
that.
Sundays and Wednesdays, and I would get 3 or 4 on the way to the store.
Yeah.
Woo.
Damn.
Kept me afloat.
Yep. When I was a teenager,
thanks, Ron.
They had a McDonald's in my town, and every like 4 hours, they would throw out all the burgers that were on eat, and we would dumpster dive. We were high and drunk. We're like 16, and they were in the fucking packaging still.
Ugh. Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's untouched. Dude, I saw that homeless lady in San Francisco years later.
Oh.
I was with family, and I was like, wait a minute. I mean, it was a decade later.
Is that an upgrade?
What?
Going to San Francisco as a homeless person?
I mean, that's the home of it. You know, if you want to make it as a homeless, that's really where you got to go.
That's their Vegas.
It's like you're waiting and waiting and waiting, but Radio City's right there. You got to have to do it eventually, Carnegie Hall.
It was that $100 you gave her. She got a bus ticket.
Yeah, and I was looking at her. And I was like, I think that's, I haven't talked in length to many homeless people. And I was like, hey, is your name Tallboy? And she was like standoffish. Because also, when I finished the interview, I was like, that was great. That was amazing. She goes, where's that $100? And I was like, oh, right, I'm sorry, here it is. Yeah. I'm not trying to like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I bought her a joint. She was, she loved it. But I saw her, I was like, is your name Tallboy? She goes, you're that guy who gave me, I mean,
wow,
right
she
back.
She remembered you.
How many times that happened? That's not trying to get you to blow them, too.
How often do you think they get guys trying to get them to blow them?
So much.
Did you ask her that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Is there like sex stuff? She goes, some people like let you stay with them for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then that goes away.
They make
away.
You shower and.
It's a dark world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I should have had a home.
Should have what?
Should have had a home.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't have happened.
I know. And it is such a cycle, though. Once you're out there, now all of a sudden you can't go to an interview because you smell and your clothes are dirty and you don't have a resume and you don't even have sometimes a phone they can call you on.
Yeah.
And so you just can't get that next job. And then you got to come up with first, last, and security to move in
somewhere.
Shelter
is your only hope. if you can shower there and get clean-ish.
Yeah. Right.
But you're getting a dock worker job.
Right.
My aunt said, she was like, this country is still like the only place you can, you know, show up with the $10 in your pocket and become a millionaire. I realized I'd heard that since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no.
No.
You've got about 7 minutes to find a job.
Right, right.
You get a slice of pizza for $1, shitty pizza. You're sleeping on the street that night, unless you're in a shelter.
Yep.
Maybe it's springtime, so okay, but you're a little dirty. You're fucked. That's it. That's it. You're homeless forever.
Right.
Can I run to the bathroom?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. No, this way. Go in there and make a left, straight, and then on the right.
And we're back with Ari Shaffir.
Did you go through that Yosemite picture? I went through a lot, but I was obsessed with that Yosemite picture.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah. Did you take it or did you find it?
No, it might be like an Ansel Adams or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been to Yosemite?
I just went for the first time.
Dude, it's magic.
It's magic. It really is.
Yeah.
It's just like the stars shine so... You're so deep in there to get in there. Once you get through the gate, you know, where they like pay the... It's like an hour to get...
Yeah,
where you're going. It's not just like right there. Like
no, and then everything just looks big and clean.
Yeah, clean the air.
Yeah, did you see the big rock they climbed? Was it
Half Dome?
The Half Dome. Yeah,
that's what that picture is.
Yeah,
yeah. I had an idea to climb up there and do. We got like an eighth of the way.
Uh huh.
Just beat. Like, yeah. Fuck this.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's great though in the background. We did some rafting. Took
Who'd
some mushrooms.
With?
Chick and her family. And
rafting, this was it cold? The water?
No, it was July.
Oh, okay.
It was still cold. You get out and like refresh yourself, uh-huh. But then after a bit it's like that's enough.
Yeah. You take the shrooms before the raft trip?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was great. And then you just like, especially on the slow part, you just kinda let it take you. So if you're like on your back, just kinda doing it and the thing would just like slowly turn, you'd hit a twig and it would turn. It would just like, without you moving, it would just change your view.
Yeah.
And it's just like.
Yeah.
And then you know, you're like, I'm two rows away from catching up to anybody because it's so slow.
All right.
It was so perfect.
Yeah, there's nothing like floating on a river, man. I mean, it really is. When you talk about being at peace, floating on a river is it. That's
the move. It's just floating. It's not even like, there's nothing to navigate really. No. There's an occasional rapids of like this high.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, it's like not even like Pirates of the Caribbean level.
Yeah. Did you make love to the chick in a tent?
Probably.
Yeah. What'd you say? It was her and who else?
Her family. So it would have been a
That would have been tough.
Hush.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I've definitely done before. You've done that.
Oh, yeah.
The quiet, like.
One time we went down to the Jersey Shore and I rented this big house. I was flush with money that summer. So I rented a big house for my whole family, and it was like my mom, my sister, her kids, and my brother, and so my two kids were very young, and so we got to New Jersey, and she felt sick, and she got worse and worse and worse. We had to go to the emergency room, and she had spinal meningitis.
Your wife?
Yeah. So we were there for a week, and we spent six of the days in the hospital, in the ER. And then the last day we get home and she's in bed and she's still completely knocked out. We're like bringing her soup. And then my mom walks in on me having sex with her. And she's like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, she walked in. She's got spinal meningitis. Like, I know, it turned me on. I wasn't expecting it. The new curve in her spine is a humongous turn on. Get out, mom. Why are you still in here?
got a fever. It feels amazing. She's so hot.
Mom, you got to feel this. Touch my cock. Touch my cock, you bitch. It's so fucking warm. You never did this to Dad.
Oh, yeah. Flu fucking, man. That's the best. You're kind of in a dream state. You're in a fugue state. It's like,
proud of yourself for even getting a boner.
Like, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Spinal meningitis.
What it was so weird. It was the weirdest thing because one of my best friends died of it. He caught it on a trip and he was about 36 years old. And Jerry Red Wilson, you ever heard of Jerry Red Wilson? He was a comic and he had a TV show on CBS. And so he died suddenly. And so we started this, we went to his funeral. And it was a real, like, he was from Queens, and it was like a real Irish fireman kind of family. And so they had this Irish wake, and we got up there, and they just gave the microphone to people. I the father said, will you bring people up and tell stories? So I kind of emceed it. And Attell went up, and Colin Quinn, and Jim Brewer, and I think, what's his name? Anyway. Everybody crushes, tells these stories, and the place is going, you know, there's so, you ever tell jokes at a funeral?
It's great.
It's the greatest.
It's so cathartic.
Yes. And so the father said, can we do this every year? So for like 3 years, we did it at Caroline's.
But also, you agree to that until the memory starts to fade away of who this guy was?
Yeah, right,
and you're like, oh.
And you're like, I'm a producer.
Yeah. I don't want to
I'm negotiating with Caroline Hirsch for the, we presented the tickets we get. And so, but it got so big and we would get the craziest comedians. Everybody would do it. So we did it at Town Hall like four or 5 years in a row.
Damn.
Sold out. And we got like Jay Leno, Jon Stewart, Patrice O'Neill, like everybody. And then my son, like after doing it for 5 or 6 years, I'm on the road in St. Louis and I get a call from my wife. She's in the emergency room. My son has spinal meningitis. And he's getting a spinal tap. He was 9 months old, and he almost died. He was in the hospital for like a week, and then my wife fucking catches it like 2 years later. So, don't do benefits. It was fucking cursed.
If you died, so when a comedian dies, we band together. Let's meet up. First is just us talk at a club, you know, everyone just talking, whatever. But then there's like a memorial, and then someone will go like, we should, in an effort to like make it not happen, which is impossible, we go, let's raise money for something.
Uh-huh.
What would yours be? What would you want them to do?
Best Buddies. That's my charity.
That's your charity. Not like your family, your wife, to keep her going.
No, we're good.
Like if you had young kids, they'd be like, let's raise some money and help them out.
Right.
But they're okay there.
No, my kids need to make their own way at this point. So does my wife.
Best Buddies. What is it?
<It's>,
you haven't worked for too long.
It's for people with intellectual disabilities.
Intellectual disabilities.
Say it.
Retards. Okay. Retarded people. All right. I mean you stumped me on that.
It's so funny because I've been doing it for so many years and then it became very in vogue to do jokes about them.
Uh-huh.
Including yourself. I've seen you do them at length.
Oh dude, I have nothing but respect for the retards. You're way out of line. That was retarded what you said to me because of how out of line it was.
So I do the benefit.
So fun. Yeah.
So I do this benefit for them every year at the store. I've done it for like 15 years. And I asked a certain comedian to do it. He's a big name. And Best Buddies called me and they said, look, we would never tell you how to do your show. But there's the guy on the show says the word, does routines about it, and we've reached out to him and asked him to be more sensitive about it, and he told him to fuck off.
And now you're booking him.
And now I'm booking him to headline the show. And so I didn't, I said, no, I can't. I said, I can't cancel him. And so
didn't,
and then he blew it off.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, thank God.
At least you did the right thing. You handled it perfectly.
But.
Yeah.
Then, we did one 2 years ago and someone didn't show up. And so Emily, the booker for the store, goes, hey, Andrew Schultz is in the original room. Do you want him to come in? And I go, oh, yeah, that'd be great. So he comes over, and she told him on the way over that it was for halfway people in halfway houses, because the Best Buddies gets you into housing. So she didn't communicate it right. And so he went on and he did 10 minutes of the harshest, like act out disabled people in front of a room full of people that some of them in the room had disabilities. One of the comedians that I bring on every year, I kind of mentor him. He's a comedian with Asperger's. And he was like, why aren't you guys laughing? He was literally going, why aren't you guys laughing?
There must be something I don't understand about this crowd. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I took a year off after that when I really rethought whether or not this is the right place.
Whenever my mom has been like, why don't you bring me to the Comedy Store? I'm like, there's people there. I don't know if they'll know how to act.
Yeah.
You're a nice lady.
Do you bring your girlfriend out at all?
I brought every girlfriend I've ever had to the store because they're always like, how come you're not including me in this?
Yeah.
And then it's like, I realized after a few, I'm like, oh, it's so much more boring than you think.
Yeah.
We're just talking shit about our best friends without them there. The same gossip all the time.
Right.
Talking about which comics we think are overrated. It's the same dumb conversation. It's not even deep conversations on life.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Right.
And then they're like, well, this is boring. Like, so you're not coming anymore?
Great.
I'm just staying out till 3 doing this, but I'm not doing anything.
Right.
Even the mothership we're talking about, I was like, there's so many cool bars in Austin. Why do we stay here? Like, free drinks. We're already here.
Yeah. It's like I'll be out to dinner with friends and then I'll be like, it'd be 10 o'clock. And I'm like, all right, I got to head into Hollywood, you know, from Venice. And they're like, everyone's like, oh, I'm going. I've got to go to bed. I'm exhausted. And they're like, why? Why are you doing that? And I just look at them like, I don't know. I just know it's going to be a better time than I'm having right now.
Yes, it's so boring. I know you don't think you're boring.
Yeah.
But you are.
Right, right. And my friends aren't boring, but it's not as good as talking shit with, you know, other comics. It's just like my favorite thing to do.
I met Jake Johansson once, worked with him in D.C. My first MC week, I think. Feature? No, it must have been MC. But we're all talking. They used to like lock the doors and like the staff would just like drink and smoke and play games and stuff. It was great after hours. And so I was talking to him about like hookers in Tijuana and stuff like that. And then later in the week, he was like, it's just funny. Like my wife's friends are here. I'm supposed to meet them. But it's like, he's like, I'm not a hooker guy.
Yeah.
And I never was. But like, I'd still rather talk to a comedian about that than about this gardening stuff. Like that. And I'm into gardening.
Yeah.
But they're just not comedians.
Right, right. And then you bring them to the club and it's just like...
You take care of them.
It's such a bummer. And people always go to me like, oh, you're a comedian? Oh, well, I'll come out to one of your shows. Like they're doing me a favor. Like I need to bring people. And I, as a rule, I just say, I'm sorry, I don't bring people to shows. I don't put people on the list.
You just do it right then.
I just say right on the spot, I don't put people on the list. Because you're going to text me 10 minutes before I'm about to go on and tell me that they don't have your name at the door. Yeah. Or you're going to make a scene or...
Well, that's the worst if they like start yelling out.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're the problem.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's smart. Just be like, nah, they don't do that.
I do St. Patrick's Day. I do a show on St. Patrick's Day every year, and I do the Best Buddies show, and I tell people those are your two times to come out. And I'm still not putting you on the list, but those are the nights I'll actually tell you that I'm going to be on stage in L.A.
I do that with musician friends, but I don't realize how big they are.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you're playing New York? I'll come support. And
yeah.
Like, I've won like a grand.
Yeah, like, right.
It's not my first time in New York.
And yeah.
Like, and afterwards, like, you did. That was great, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's how they treat us.
Yeah.
Ah, you saw one joke? Good job.
Yeah. You're friends with that guy? I did his podcast in Austin, the black guy.
Danny Brown. Yeah, that's Danny what
Brown.
I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I just don't know rap.
Yeah.
So we've become friends, actually. But like, I think only because I don't know rap.
Right.
So I'm able to be myself around him.
Uh-huh.
Any celebrity that I'm like, I just get weird.
I do too.
Yeah.
I can't handle it. And you look at someone like Jeff Ross.
He's just friends with all of them.
Friends with every single celebrity.
Shane's good at it. Tim Dillon's good at it. Tony's good at it. All these people just good. I'm just like,
Yeah. What do you think that is?
I don't know. I was going to like insult them and like prop us up, but it's probably like lame on our parts. They're just people, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. We pedestal them. Even if it's like, I don't respect your stuff. It's just, I know you're a celebrity. So then it's like,
do you feel
weird?
Like, as a comic, you're usually kind of the alpha, and now they're the alpha, and that makes you uncomfortable?
Ooh, maybe. Maybe, but I am more of a late fallback observer.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm not usually an alpha like that. What do you think it is?
I'm trying to picture myself with a celebrity.
It's just like, I clam up. I'm just like, I don't know what to say.
I kind of feel like they are, and I see people do it to me as a comic, where I just feel like I'm not interesting enough, or I don't rate.
I've got nothing to add.
And I'm wasting their time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, like, I feel like I don't want to ever be seen as wanting something from, this is why booking the podcast is such a pain in the ass. I hate asking people because.
Favor. It's a favor.
I don't like asking a favor.
And now everybody's
people.
Got a podcast before. He's like, oh, sure, I'd love to. How come you never asked me? And then it's like, yeah.
Right.
And even if that's not the case, it's still you worried about it. So, like, you don't want to bug a celebrity, but sometimes it's not even that.
Yeah.
We saw Ken Griffey Jr., me and Steve Simone, at Renazzisi, had a premiere party for the league, and Always Sunny would do it together every year. And he was just there.
Yeah.
And we were, like, standing, like, nearby him. One of us was like, is that Ken Griffey Jr.? I mean, if people don't know. Sweetest swing, just one of my first as a kid, like Hall of Famer, like, wow, he's great.
Yeah.
And we're there with him, and we're just like, and there's one of the times he went for it, like, what'd you think of the first episode? He was like, oh, it was really funny. He was like, right. And we like didn't focus on him at all. But we were happy to have talked to him for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was just by himself, just kind of like waiting for someone to talk to him. It was the ideal situation.
Yeah.
And never like, I know who you are, though. It's like, didn't I know better than to do that?
Right. I had this thing once. I went to a party, and my wife was obsessed with Mad Men. She thought John Hamm was like the most handsome, suave guy she'd ever seen in her life.
Yeah.
I think agreed. Most women did.
Yeah.
And so I remember once, the first time she saw the show, I was in San Francisco playing at a club. And I walk in the room, and Mad Men was on, and she was sitting on the bed with her pants around her ankles, not like masturbating, just like she was getting undressed and started watching the show and got so obsessed that she had to stop what she was doing and sit down and watch. And so I'm at this party, and John Hamm walks in, and she's with her friend and me, and we're standing there, and everybody kind of pays attention. And he walks in, and he walks straight to me, and he goes, Greg! How you doing? And he gives me this big hug. It's one of those things where, like, I'm hugging and I'm looking at my wife going, and he goes, blah, blah, blah. We start talking. And then I go, have we met before? And he's like, John. He goes, from the improv, Julie Hirschberg, we all used to hang out. And I was like, holy shit. There was this guy I was friends with at the improv for years. He was just a guy that hung out there.
What?
He was a young actor. And I did not know that that was this guy. Because he looks so different on TV.
Wow. Yeah, he's wearing suits all the time. Classic, nice suits.
So we reconnected and we're friends again. And you know, he did my podcast a bunch of times.
Really?
Yeah.
But even that. So you meet John Hamm. He's become John Hamm. You already knew him. Still, you must be a little bit like, can I ask him to do my podcast?
No, he did a few times and then I just stopped. I started getting like the fame thing. I started not being able to.
To be normal.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them because that's what they come in contact with all the time. People that should be normal around them.
Yeah.
Get weird.
Right.
It's no way to live.
No.
I was in Guatemala in some like small town. We found some festival when I was there. Just you look up in South America, like where it's like every county has their one festival a year.
Yeah.
Throughout all of Latin America.
Uh-huh.
It's like whatever indigenous tribe was there mixed with Christianity. You know, they made their own little thing. So anyway, I was like, hey, there's one over there. I was there for 2 weeks, so there's one. So I went with this guy from a hostel. And there's some like ceremony where they're like, some little kid was there. They're lighting a fire around him and putting like flowers and little fireworks. And I don't know. It was all on the up and up. But he's like, hey, do you watch, I forget the name of the show, Hacks or Suits? And I was like, no. He's like, I think that guy's from that show. And I was like, he's like, you think it's him? Like, I don't know. I've never seen the show. I've heard the name. That's it.
Uh-huh.
He goes, I think that's him. I mean, this is in, it wasn't even Chichicastenango. It was some nothing town in Guatemala.
Wow.
He goes, I think I should go say something to him. And I was like, hey, buddy, if that's him, you should not.
You should not.
He's with his family.
Yeah.
See that.
Yep.
He's as far away from Hollywood as possible. And he goes, oh, how about I just go by him and like say his like his character name so he knows I know. I'm
yeah,
like, dude, that's
no.
even worse. I yeah. don't. He's not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
He's lost in it. He gets his, and he was like, I should say something. I'm like, listen, you do whatever you want. I'm just telling you. I have a little insight here.
Right.
He doesn't want it.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And then the next day he was like, I feel like I should have said something. No. Like, dude, you shouldn't
no.
have.
No, the guy was lost in the moment. Yeah. He was away, and you would have just immediately.
What? Another white guy? The only other white guy in this town?
Yeah.
Taking him out of it?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, you're lost in a sunset. Hey, what?
Yeah. Guy did that to me at a urinal. Don't you hate comedy clubs where
you have to go out there?
You have to go to the urinal that everybody else goes to, and without. Obviously, they're there to see you.
Side splitters, comedy works. These are great clubs, and still you have
Cleveland
to like
Cleveland Hilarities. Yeah. That's where it just happened.
Oh yeah, you got to go through that like hallway and then
yeah.
right into the
yeah.
gen pop.
And the guy standing next to me is like, "Hey man, really excited to see you tonight." And I said to him, "I go, dude, I'm urinating. I go, I don't mean to be a dick, but like," and he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
yeah, my dick is in my hand.
Right.
This is the metaphor.
Right." It's nice to get recognized sometimes. Like
sometimes.
When I'm with my kids, I love it.
Sometimes it feels nice.
Yeah.
What are the best ones of those? I was in Costa Rica once with my family. We were hiking up this hill. These people on horseback were coming down. Somebody's like, "Are you Shafir?"
Nice.
And it was like,
nice. Yeah.
Who's the not a lawyer now?
The best is when you're talking. Like I was on a plane recently with this woman, and you know, attractive woman, you know, and just harmlessly flirting. And then this guy walks down the aisle and he goes, "Fitzdog, love you, man." And,
quick
I,
in
and she just
too.
Looked, and she's just like, I told her what I did. She's just like, "What? What was that?" And she's like, "Oh, whatever." I'm like a really, really low level celebrity.
Yeah, it is funny when people are like, because no one gets recognized from someone they don't know.
Yeah,
they might be like, "Oh, hey, I play basketball with you," but it's like. If you don't know them, that just never happens to anyone. Most people know.
Yeah.
So it's like, what the fuck is that?
Right. Hey, it's time for Fitz, Fastballs with Fitz. And
ooh,
I'll let
okay.
you go.
Okay,
you're going to do another podcast today, aren't you?
Yeah, Sicklers.
Now that'll be
all
fun.
This press. I got all this press for my special.
Well, the special is called America's Sweetheart. It's out on January 14th on Netflix.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Did I tell you that? Or do the fucking Jews tell you that?
No, it came out on Deadline Hollywood 2 days ago.
Nice.
Yeah. They got to research my guests.
Yeah, it was odd.
It's a two special deal where you're putting out that. And for the first time, Netflix is releasing something that had previously been put out on YouTube.
Pretty wild.
The Jew
yeah.
Special.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a bit crazy because they've been like, "No, we're not doing that." To everybody who had one, they're like, "We're not doing that."
So you're double dipping.
Yeah, I think it. Well, so all my views on that came and kind of like petered.
Yeah.
So it's good for me. It's like new audience, new life in it.
Right.
But it's pretty interesting. I actually had the same thing at Comedy Central where I was like, "Oh, they're never going to take me. I'll just do my own." They were making fun of it. All these comics trying to do their own specials. And then they bought a special and licensed that one.
Yeah.
The one they said, "Why are these comics doing that?"
Right.
Then it was, I don't know. Weird.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's free money because you've already paid for it.
Right, yeah, it's just bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight in your pocket.
Yeah, that Comedy Central thing was like, I think I owed whoever made it like $5,000.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, I think Justin got a deal for it, actually. He was like, "Listen, you're never going to recoup on this," knowing he had a deal at Comedy Central. Like, "Hold on, don't sign it yet." And
uh-huh.
he goes, "How about here's $5,000, just give him the rights." And he's like, "Okay, and then now sign it." And
oh, like nice.
$200 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we still owed him like $120 or something, but like, oh, it's great.
That's awesome. So check that out. Also, the podcast is You Be Trippin', which I did a few months ago.
On Ireland.
That was really fun. A lot of those memories I hadn't thought about since like 1984 when they happened.
Yeah. Maybe do another one on South Africa.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, when you're back.
Yeah.
Because that'd be a way different one. You talking about stuff from 19.
Yeah.
Versus stuff from 19 days ago.
Yeah. With my kids, watching them at the age I was back then.
Wow.
Actually, they're a little older than I was back then. I was only 18 on that trip. Also, tour dates coming up. Tahoe, December 21st. Homestead, PA, January 3rd through 5th.
Pittsburgh.
Providence, January 10th and 11th. Where's Pittsburgh?
Homestead.
Oh, that's what Homestead is?
Yeah, I love these things. They put on your website. And it's yeah. What? No one knows what that is. Even the people from there don't know what that is.
I'm actually doing the same gig, I think, the week after you.
Oh, nice. I'll leave a little meat on the bone.
Yeah, don't drag everybody in town to your show. Salt Lake City, January 17th and 18th. Brea, January 31st through February 1st. Nashville, February 6th through 8th. And then San Antonio and Tampa coming up. Side Splitters.
Yeah, you talked me into that. I was going to, and you're like playing a different club. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Come on. I just was had to deal with them. And then once I switched, it was like, oh, game over.
It's less money, but it's a better experience.
I don't even know. It's just like, you draw better. It's just like, it's so fun.
It's so like, much fun.
You're like, oh, Tampa, that's so cool. Yeah. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. You went from my least favorite club in the country to maybe my second favorite club in the country.
It really is a rock, big hall. It's just not made for that.
Two balconies.
I'd always heard about that. I was like, cool. And like, no, not cool. There's a reason they don't do that. Have a guy straight up there.
Yeah.
But man, sides, but we went for Mark Norman's bachelor party.
When?
A few years ago.
Uh-huh.
We did gigs at Sidesplitters to pay for it.
Oh,
we did like two or three in a night.
Uh-huh.
And they used all that money for steaks and hookers and strippers and stuff.
That's amazing.
Chlamydia treatment.
In Tampa.
Yeah, in Tampa. And then like, I was like, oh, yeah. I went to BT. I was like, call my Jews.
Let's
get this done. Right. This is a far better experience.
That's hilarious. All right.
Free popcorn, too.
Popcorn. Fill up on that popcorn
machine.
And they got frozen pizzas and popcorn. And the staff is so cool.
They're cool.
Yeah. And then when you're in town, you get to go on and do Mike Calta.
Oh, yeah. It's Mike Calta.
One of my favorite radio guys in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, he rules, too. Rest in peace. I assume by the time this comes out, the heart failure will set in, but maybe I'm wrong.
All right. Who's the worst feature act that ever opened for you on the road or MC?
There was a guy this is just first thing that comes to mind, right? Okay. So there was a guy in, what's the club, Ruth Ann's club in Crackers?
In Indianapolis.
Yeah. And he did, word for word, the Jay Moore, Burt Kreischer story about hanging out with Tracy Morgan.
No.
That they had public beef over whose story this is, and it was Burt's story, and then Jay Moore's like, do you mind if I do that? And Burt was like kind of too young to go, no, don't do that.
Uh-huh.
And so they had this massive thing, and this kid does it just word for word.
So now there's three guys doing the same story.
I get. It's crazy.
Wow.
And there's not an
inkling. Did he tell it as if it happened to him?
Yes. Yeah. Not like I heard the story about Tracy Morgan. And I'm like watching. I'm like, what? And, you know, I'm like pretty against like not much in comedy except joke stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said nothing to him. I just didn't say a word. Just pussed out. Just did the week. He did it every show.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Who you got? Do you do these too or no?
No, I just ask.
Oh, wow.
Who's your best Asian friend?
Asian?
Yeah.
I try to stay away from all of them, to be honest. They're a real problem.
You can't be friends with them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I've never met a Uyghur, but I would assume they'd way outdo the... I mean, it might be Bobby Lee. It can't be that.
Everybody says Bobby Lee.
He's the only one.
Yeah.
I'll go Ronnie Chang over Bobby Lee. I've never punched Ronnie Chang in the face.
Yeah.
Wait, there must be an Asian I'm not thinking of.
Wait, you punched Ron Chang in the face?
No. Oh. Not Bobby Lee, though. Many times.
You punched him in the face?
So many times.
No.
Yeah.
As a joke?
No. No, we used to beef.
No shit.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, Greg. I know you used to get in a lot of fights.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever got this tactic or just never had the opportunity. If you pick on people that are smaller than you, it just goes better.
But I think he wrestled though in high school, didn't he?
Yeah, well, they don't take punches in wrestling.
That's
hilarious. You punched him, he turtled up, and kicking at him.
Yeah.
A Superman punched him one time. It felt really good.
What was the beef?
Over a chick.
Oh.
Yeah, I was a young punk.
Wow.
Yeah, I was
That's
an asshole.
Awesome.
Wait, there must be, who are the Asians in comedy now? In New York. There must be some Asians.
Ali Wong.
Yeah, friendly, but I'm not friends with her. Here's my side of like friends. If I was in your neighborhood and hungry, would I call you?
Right.
You, I'd call.
Yep.
If I was like around here and I was I'd be like. Yeah.
You have. I don't think it happened, but you've called me a couple times when you're on the west side.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would not do that with Ali Wong.
Okay.
If I knew where she lived. Yeah, I guess Bobby Lee. Everyone says Bobby Lee. There's no Asians in comedy.
Well,
Shang Wang, I'm better friends with Shang Wang, even though I'd never see him.
You know who I want to be friends with is Jimmy O. Yang.
Jimmy O. Yang.
He seems like a really good dude.
Yeah.
He's very nice.
Or the lead of Squid Games. That guy would be cool.
Yeah, he'd be pretty good. Yeah. Does he speak English, though?
No, I don't think so.
That might be better.
It might be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How funny would that be to be good friends with a guy who doesn't speak English and you take him out?
All the time. He says something like to the waiter, like, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. He's pointing to his Coke. Probably more Coke.
I've seen guys dating Asian women
happens.
That barely spoke English.
Because you speak the language of love.
Yeah, and money. When's the last time you apologized to somebody?
Let's see. I did just apologize. It was not accepted. To Joe Rogan, I'm always pissing. I don't like to leave. Listen, even this, leave. I mean, this is your home, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt to go to the bathroom. And I have a Jewish bladder, so it's a lot.
Yeah.
So I'll just piss in a bottle. We'll keep going.
Oh, wow.
You know, I come from the audio-only days.
Uh-huh.
Just piss in a bottle. Keep going. And I do that, you know, lots of times.
Yeah.
If I'm like... I don't know. I do it at home if I don't feel like going downstairs to pee.
Uh-huh.
You know, or if something's happening down there, I'm like, I'll just piss.
Like a regular sized bottle? Isn't it hard to get it in there?
Yes, it's hard, but not insurmountable.
Yeah.
And I've done it driving. You know, when you're like coming back from San Diego, you have to lean up
so
you can point your dick down. And
yeah,
there's always that vacuum that the air needs to escape. So you learn how to do it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Do it all the time. He's like, stop. But Joe's also lets me be my...
Oh, you do it during the podcast on his show.
Yeah, and I've done it for a decade or
more.
But anyway, we're shotgunning beers where you key them, you know, and then crack them open. And I pissed into one of those and didn't see the back was just a big hole. And it was just like, I was like, wait, what's happening? And it didn't make sense for a second. And I'm just pissing into a beer can and then directly onto the floor. I'm like mopping it up. And then later I was like, hey, dude, I'm sorry. And he goes, you're not sorry. You pissed right into a can.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, yes. But I didn't know there was a hole in it. I was just going to fill up. I was just going to be disgusting, but not rude.
Yeah.
I apologize for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's tough when they don't accept it.
It's tough when they don't accept it. But also, it's not like we're not friends.
Yeah.
But also, I did just piss on his floor that day.
Right.
So
Joel will get mad at you. And then it's water under the bridge
so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's a lot of like, I'm done with that person forever. And then he has him on his podcast 2 weeks later.
Uh-huh.
It's like, he's just like, he's too supportive.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember another time I apologized for opening my mouth about a comedian years ago and then saw them again recently. It was like, again, man, I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's like, nice. Thank you.
Dude, what's better than I think it's because... I think the Jews, and I grew up Irish Catholic where you do confession, and I did the AA thing where you go out and you make amends to people. It's so healing for you. It's almost selfish how good it feels.
It's crazy. And to them, they felt seen. They feel seen and like, okay, great. You express, not just like, sorry. I was talking to this with a new parent. And she was like, yeah, we tell the kids, like, say you're sorry after you hit, like, a sibling or something. But they just go, sorry. But they don't really feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you tell them to, like, you know, paint by numbers. But it's not – you should tell them to internalize it. Because as adults, no one's taught us to be like, hey, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, I kept you waiting for an hour. That was bullshit.
Right.
Yeah, I was, you know, Not just like, sorry, I was on the phone. It's just like, that really sucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And people go, all right. Yeah, it did suck. I was waiting there. It's like, yeah, I won't do that again. That,
yeah,
that sucked.
Right.
But like, it's the power in it.
Well,
even years later, you tell somebody, hey.
Yeah.
They're like, wow.
Yep.
And get you laid too. Say some shit to a chick. God. And then years later, like, say you're sorry about making fun of their dead grandfather or something.
Yeah. Because now they know you're capable of it, so they feel safe
and
around you.
And you didn't just skirt by it. Like, you recognized that was an asshole thing to do. You didn't just forget about it. I've been holding on to it.
Yeah.
You knew it was bad, and you've been holding it too embarrassed to say, I'm sorry.
Is there anything you want to apologize to me about?
I gave you a lot of bad advice on purpose for that special because I didn't want yours to eclipse mine. And I accepted all the praise, but really I knew I was cutting your legs out.
You give everybody advice. You're really well known for it. All right, finally, what's the hackiest bit that you've ever done in your career?
I straight stole a joke.
No.
Yeah. From Charles Barkley.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was talking about, I applied to Kobe Bryant, but he was talking about Chuck Person, I think.
Uh-huh.
He might have played with him. He was such a ball hog, you could fake him a pass and he'd still shoot it. I applied that to Kobe when I was here. That's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I almost stole a joke once from, I forget his name right now. I saw some guy in San Francisco. I was so young and I was like, I knew it was wrong, but I was like, maybe. But I was like, nah, I'm not gonna. And then later he did that joke on Last Comic Standing, like 2 years later.
Oh, shit.
And
yeah.
And then I like, developed into my own, and it's, you know, now you don't think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, about like surfing is the only sport. Fuck, I forget his name. He's a cool guy. Surfing's the only sport that involves animals. Involves unrelated animals like shark attacks or
yeah,
part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because imagine like quarterback drops pass. Oh, the gorilla's got him. Oh shit, he's beating the fuck out of him.
That's a great bit.
Great bit. Yeah. And I was like, no way somebody from the old Cubs, the little small Cubs, is ever gonna go on to anything in LA.
Oh, so this was a long time ago.
Yeah. At like a show, like a week in like show. Oh.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure I've done plenty of hacky jokes, but
yeah.
It's funny though, when you say, here's a cringe moment, you see a joke you did in a new comic who you know didn't steal it from you.
Uh-huh.
And you're just like, fuck, that was such an easy take. Oh, when I moved to New York, all my Subway stuff, I thought it was so like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You see generation after generation of comics do the exact same joke.
That's why I never call anybody on if I think that they stole a joke from me, because I always just look at the joke like, oh, they might have thought of it. Like, yeah. I just want to drop that.
Right. It's almost like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah, if they would even steal that joke, I don't want to do that joke anymore.
Yeah, it's not about going through Ireland when I had still had hair. That's like, dude, wait, what the fuck? You never went to Ireland.
Yeah.
You still have hair.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah.
All right, well, listen, Ari Shaffir, again.
Buddy, thank you. It was always great seeing you.
America's Sweetheart, thanks for making time, man. Came straight from the airport. And I sent you a holiday gift, which I guess you didn't get yet.
I didn't get yet. Yeah, now I'm wondering what the fuck it is.
It's going to be, it's good. I sent two things.
Okay.
And one is related to your move. Actually, they're both kind of related to your move.
Okay.
Yeah.
To London, you mean?
Yeah.
Nice.
June, right?
June, I start a backpacking trip for 6-8 months, and then when I'm done.
Oh, then you go. Oh, no shit. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to have some fun.
You got enough money for all this?
I'll do one last tour, save up some cash.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, cut out rent.
Yep.
You know, that's my biggest cost in New York. So
you gonna get rid of that place you do your podcast too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I can get another one and set it up.
Uh-huh.
It was just an apartment, you know.
So you just put all your shit in storage?
Ship it to London, to a dock in London.
Oh, really?
Yeah, put it all, ship it, and then we'll like as slow as possible, and then we'll get it. We'll get it.
Slow train.
Yeah. Do a rowboat to London.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then when I get there, it'll be like, try out a few neighborhoods with Airbnbs.
Uh-huh.
Until it's like, all right, this one, let's look for places.
Yeah.
So it might take another 2 months, and then it's like, all right, let's get the stuff out of storage.
Nice. And so you're going to podcast at all on the trip?
I mean, it's a travel podcast.
Yeah.
So I assume I'll meet, at hostels and stuff, some travelers.
Mm-hmm.
I'll meet like your son.
Yeah.
You know, if I met that type of guy, your son, at a hostel in fucking Guatemala, and he told me about some crazy thing he just did in Panama, I might be like, you want to talk about that? Let's go out to the woods tomorrow and just record.
Yeah.
Put a couple clamps up on branches and just get it done. Yeah, I'll do some of those.
So you just have a tiny bit of equipment with you.
I'm trying to get it so small. I'm trying to get it small as possible. So I have this just with a little plug-in just this big.
Yeah.
But I want it even smaller.
You could just put the thing on the H6, the multi-directional.
Maybe not.
That, the sound on that is good.
Really?
Yeah, the sound on that is almost as good as microphones.
Wow. Yeah, maybe that. As long as it's not like birds chirping and like stuff going off. These are so good because it's like a siren can pass by.
Yeah, I know. Well, also then I guess you can shoot with iPhones instead of cameras,
iPhones
right?
will be the cameras.
Yeah.
That's like this much for three of them.
Right.
I have one. Uh-huh. I need two others. The clamps. Maybe those little road things. I don't know. Anyway, I'm working on it. But
that's great.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And if anyone comes to visit, which the invites are open to everybody.
What countries are you going to be in?
Start in Mexico. We'll just work our way down. I want to be on the equator for the equinox.
Uh-huh.
And then work our way down to the solstice.
Yeah.
So everywhere.
Right.
Some will be like, let's just pass through. I might, you know, depends how safe some of them are.
Well, my son can give you some tips. He just did 6 months in Mexico and Guatemala.
Oh.
So he'll have some talent
for you.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
It makes it nice now because then when I meet anybody like from Argentina, some waiters, I'm like, oh, what should I do? And they're like, oh, Buenos Aires is nice. I'm like, no, deeper, man.
Yeah.
Where do you go to go hiking? Tell me some cool local restaurants.
Right.
And I just pin them in my Google Calendar.
Oh,
so now,
really?
So then whenever I'm going to be close to anywhere, I'm like, I got a rec.
Oh, that's amazing.
I got a rec for a waterfall.
That's great.
Yeah. So I'll talk to your son for sure and be like, well, give me some top things.
Great. Yeah, he's got some specific stuff.
Hell yeah.
All right, man. Thanks again for coming. Love you, buddy.
Love you too.
All right, Shafir, welcome to... Oh, let me turn off the music. Oh, it'd be nice to leave it on, wouldn't it?
It would be. Just to have a nice conversation with some background music.
Except doesn't that take you off the algorithm?
Yeah, it'll crush you.
Yeah.
You'll get sued for just wanting to enjoy their music.
I know. Welcome to Fitzdog Radio. It's Ari Shafir.
Yeah, before you guys tune in, Greg has a remote control on his phone to control music, ambient music in the house. You're crushing it, dude.
I was just
you got a mandolin? Everything's going well for you.
Yeah, it's really like, you know, I've worked hard, and I just feel like...
A throw blanket.
I mean, I'm right near Silicon Valley. It's like a couple hundred miles from here, so like I know some guys and whatever.
Yeah, let's catch it.
But, you know, I was reading Keith Richards' autobiography. Mm-hmm. Have you read that?
No.
Do you read?
No.
Yeah.
Not autobiographies anyway.
But he's talking about how they were driving through, when they did Let It Bleed, they were driving through France. They lived in France. I think they were banned from England for some tax evasion or some shit.
Yeah.
They found the biggest like Rolls Royce they could find, and they were just driving around the countryside, and they had a record player in the back of the
Rolls Royce.
In the back of a Rolls Royce. And you just think about like that, if you could tell them today that you could have just had this thing in your hand you could access literally almost any music that's ever been recorded.
Hey, Keith Richards, how's your record collection?
Yeah.
Mate, more than anything has ever been. It's the greatest. I'm sure. I mean, let me whip you into the future and sell in a year.
Right.
Beautiful your collection is.
Yeah. We can isolate the vocals of B.B. King on a track that you liked from 1961.
Well, I have that one. But, well, it's already playing on mine. I'm not rifling through stuff.
Yeah.
I'm taking it out of a jacket.
I'm not flipping it halfway through the album. Like, remember that? There was literally, you only listen to four or five songs. They need to get up, walk over, turn it over.
It's the problem with comedy albums. They're all four-sided. If you go an hour, you got to do four sides. Or three.
Yeah, right. Your first album was two sides, right?
Yeah. Probably did 18 minutes.
What was it like?
How come there was only one side on that? That had to be an hour.
Did you just release it on vinyl?
No.
Oh.
No, I had my last special just came out on vinyl a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I love it. I bought a bunch of vinyls for the comedy store, whatever, Texas condo.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I was like, what is this? Why do you have comedy albums?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you guys are comedians. I don't want to listen to that.
I got tons. I used to collect them.
Comedy ones?
Yeah.
Comedy ones I'll collect, but I won't listen to them.
Yeah.
Maybe once.
I don't think I've listened to them in 10 years.
Yeah, it's just nice to have.
Yeah, it is nice to have. And
Especially the old black comics are just, they're so raunchy, and the covers are right, so raunchy.
Right. LaWanda Page, was that her name?
Yeah.
And it was all, Red Fox would produce all the albums.
Oh, Red Foxes were great.
But you know, he had a thing where he owned a club, I think it was on like La Cienega, and it was like, you came in and you did a set, and then he recorded it, and then he put it out as an album, and then he gave you like $50, and he owned it, and he had a catalog. He had like 100 different comedians that he did albums for.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
He fucked everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd think they'd be like, no, but there was no idea of deals then.
There was like no comedy albums. They were literally the first comedy albums, you know? I mean, when...
There's like, thanks for putting it out for me. That's cool.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Do you remember the story of Bob Newhart's first album, Button Down, uh-huh. Mind of Bob Newhart?
No.
So he used to go to cocktail parties, and this is the same way 2,000-year-old men came to be. Like, people would go to cocktail parties in the 1950s and early 60s, and they would, like, you know, it was like all ad people, advertising people, and they'd have, like, their suits on, and they'd be drinking highballs, and then you kind of hold court, and you would do routines. It was almost like a comedy club at a cocktail party.
Really?
But it was all, like, bits that people would do, like...
On each other?
No, just, like, monologues. And so Bob Newhart used to do all of his, like, one-sided phone conversations, and... You know, Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner would do all these written pieces about
just,
the 2000-year-old
Just to
man.
Each other?
Just, no, to the party. The party would be listening.
Oh.
And so there was an executive from, I can't remember what record company it was, but he said, hey, we're starting a comedy album division, and would you like to do an album? And we'll pay you X amount of dollars. And he was like a copywriter for an ad agency at the time. And he's like... he's like, yeah. He goes, that sounds great. And I said, all right, let us know when your next stand-up club gig is, and we'll come and record it. And he said, well, that'd be great, but I've never done stand-up comedy in a club.
Bob Newhart?
So they book him into Las Vegas, into like 5 nights at this room. First 3 nights, he does stand-up for the first time in his life in a club. And the next 2 nights, he records The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart, which wins the Grammy and becomes the best-selling album.
On his fourth and fifth set ever?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I know. When I think about my first sets, they were embarrassing.
So, like, the idea of the word cringe is that's what it is. You're just like, oh.
Right.
Yeah, if anyone can see it.
What were your early jokes? Like, what did you talk about?
I think early on, not like right away, but early on, I was like, David Taylor says every comic is trying to do an impression of what they think a comedian is.
Yeah.
The first couple of years.
Right.
So it was like Lewinsky jokes, because I thought you were supposed to.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what was on late night.
Do you remember any of them?
No, I remember having something about a bumper sticker that like from a candidate that I already lost.
Uh-huh.
But the big joke was, hey, they're not going to win. Big reveal that I'm fucking really sticking it to that guy.
Yeah. Bumper sticker. I remember bumper sticker jokes were big early on.
Maybe bumper stickers in general.
Yeah, they were big.
I don't see any. Barely.
There's some hippies.
There's
some in LA right now on people on their Teslas are putting bumper stickers that say, I bought this before Elon Musk became an asshole.
It's a real quandary for these people.
Yeah.
They went all in on showing their environmental consciousness, even though it's negligible with that battery, if it's actually helping or hurting.
Right.
And they're like, no, this makes me a good person. And then, I really didn't follow, but I don't know how it became, like, Ayatollah Khomeini. And then, like, he's, like, this bad guy now. And they're like, no! And now it's like, but the environment, like, it cancels out.
Yeah. Right.
He's like a bad dresser.
No, it's very hard to be an environmentalist. And my wife's dad was a huge environmentalist. He was a professor, but he wrote a lot of books about how capitalism will destroy the environment, which
it
will.
It will, yeah.
And but he tried to walk the walk, and it was like that. It always turned out to be hypocritical. Like the thing you were trying to do always ended up being just as bad.
Paul McCartney got one of the first electric cars from India.
Oh, really?
And they shipped it to him in a helicopter from India. Just that car.
That's hilarious.
And offset 20 of those. Exactly. Yeah, he's like, no, you killed me.
No, every time they have one of those G4 summits and all these people come flying in their private jets.
Oh my God. It's so funny. Because also, like, we all look back and be like, you guys were telling us you're better than us.
Yeah.
You guys are hypocrites and you know it. Right, fuck off. Right.
I know. And you weren't. Well, a lot of people wait until they're rich to start taking stands on things. That's why it's like, I really respect the people early on that, you know, if you're going to be political, hey, that's great. If that's your lane, you want to be the political comic or the actor who speaks out, that's great. But do it when it can cost you your career.
Yeah.
Not when you've got so much money that it's just a fucking, you know, it's an afterthought.
I don't know how you live in this town. I guess
well, because I live in Venice.
Right, you don't.
I don't live in L.A. I don't like L.A. at all.
Yeah.
I go in for my spots at night, and it's pretty rare that I have a studio. We don't usually shoot. We're shooting in my living room right now. Very comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's not my studio.
Yeah, it's just as inviting. This is outside. When I lived in West L.A. when I started, it was like, okay, this is just the beginning of showbiz.
Yeah, I mean, all my neighbors, like tonight, last night we went to dinner at a restaurant that we walked to and with neighbors. And then tonight we're going to, my son waits tables at this Italian place in Santa Monica. It'll be a 5-minute drive and got six other neighbors that are meeting us. It's like, what?
Just give you the hookup?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Worth it, finally.
That was so Jewish. It didn't take long for you to.
I mean, what do you mean? It's right there. How could you not see the hookup?
But it's so I don't really, it's just, you know, we go to the beach all the time. I rode my bike on the beach on Sunday.
Damn, that's nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Nice.
But LA sucks.
LA just kind of sucks. It's all that. It's all people, like, showing off kind of who they are, even though they're not that.
Mm-hmm.
Faking it and then showing it off.
Yeah.
When Rogan was moving to Austin, he was like, LA sucks. I'm like, you just realized?
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.